We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we are back with another Lock It Up with Kurtz podcast here on KCSN. I am John Kurtz, joined as I am every week by Aaron Lockett, former K-State wide receiver and NFL wide receiver as well. The show, as always, is brought to you by 360 Vodka and Holiday Distillery. You guys continue to get stocked up on that and support them. They've done such an awesome job supporting us here throughout the entirety of this podcast. But we have a very, very special guest on with us today. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm sure a lot of people are. And also looking forward to the book that is out from our guest now, which is Bill Snyder, obviously the legendary K-State football coach and College Football Hall of Famer. The book that has been written with D. Scott Fritchin is out right now, My Football Life and the Rest of the Story. You can find it on Amazon, wherever it is that you find your books. And I've had a chance to dive into some of this, and I'm looking forward to getting a chance to talk to you about it here today, Coach. But first and foremost, what got you down the road of deciding to put – basically your entire life story here into book format?
Well, first of all, thank you for the kind introduction. But, Scott Fritchin, who wrote the book, and he had written another one several years ago, somewhat similar book. And he was employed here in Manhattan, Kansas, with a group that let him go. And, you know, I've always had a great appreciation for him. I think he's a tremendous writer. I know he's a hard worker and a good person. So I thought, you know, that would give him an opportunity. If we did a book, that would give him an opportunity to have a job and be able to take care of himself in that respect, and out of that also the athletic department with Kenny Lanou and the communications department had an opening, and when we finished the book, I contacted Kenny, and he found he talked to Scott and hired him. So good things came out of it for Scott. So that was truly the what prompted. You know, I knew it was something that was going to take place, you know, at some point in time, but that's what prompted it to take place as rapidly.
Well, I love that, and it's a great cause, and I will certainly echo what you had to say about Scott and his time on the beat now being back there. Catch us up on what retirement life is like. I know I had a chance, I think you spoke with Kellis Robinette and some others here about the book as well. I had a chance to read the other day. Found it very interesting that apparently you do have an affinity for bacon. I was very interested to learn that. But what else have you learned about in retirement now?
Well, I do far more than just eat bacon. And even though I love it, I'm not a cook. And my wife is pretty selective about when she does and doesn't fix bacon. So I don't, it's not a regular part of my diet, whatever that is. Well, you know, a number of things. I have stayed extremely busy. I'm not very good if I'm not busy. And it's an opportunity to do things that I, you know, enjoy doing. An awful lot of speaking engagements, and I, you know, obviously now get to pick and choose, and I can select those that are for a good cause and do so. Haven't had to travel a great deal because of the COVID, and so most of that has been on Zoom, which I know you guys can't believe that I actually can operate a Zoom outlet, but I have learned to do that. And of course we have five children and 9 grandchildren and 5 great grandchildren, so trying to stay in touch with them on a regular basis and be able to see them. And if I can't see them, then I can certainly talk to them on the phone daily. And that takes up some time, but that's wonderful and quality time. An awful lot of paperwork, which most of it I have no issues with. Some of it takes a little longer than I would like, but I enjoy responding to, people that send cards and letters, et cetera, and I get an awful lot of that. And then staying up the best I can with ex-players, and I get an awful lot of communication from them, and so we get to find out, you know, what they're doing and how they're doing, and that's a positive thing that I enjoy doing as well. But, you know, that's kind of what goes on most of the time.
You know, Coach, as I hear you talk, right, you just mentioned staying up with ex-players. As I talk to a lot of our old teammates, they always, you know, we always chuckle about you because they always say, you know, tell me a funny story about Coach Snyder. And so what I would always tell, you know, people that ask me about you is that, you know, when you make a mistake on the field, right, and it happens, right, you drop balls, you drop pump, you miss a block, whatever it is, when you're coming off the field, I used to always look for Smitty and not you, because I knew you'd be looking me dead in my eyes. And every time I catch eyes with you, you look at me and you kind of bring your finger and you come right to me. And it's just one of those moments where just quiet respect, you know. And so I tell people all the time, he didn't say a lot, but when he spoke, the room always listened. And so it's just, it's impactful the way that you coached and the impact that you had on the game. And I think that, you know, that would be legendary just across the board for a lifetime. So, you know, it's just one of those interesting stories I think about when people ask me about, you know, what did you mean as a coach to me?
Well, I appreciate that a great deal, Aaron. And, you know, I was just blessed to have, you know, wonderful people, wonderful players, wonderful coaches, wonderful fans, as you're well aware.
Mm-hmm.
People supported the program. So I fell into a great deal of good fortune.
And we're talking with Bill Snyder here, and his book is out right now. You can find it, My Football Life and the Rest of the Story, written with D. Scott Fritchin. You know, I hate to take it from where we're at to where we're going here right now, but I am a child of the 90s, and I don't know if obsession is quite the right word, but I think a lot about the 1998 K-State football team, which obviously hits home with both of you guys, Aaron being somebody that played on that team. And just, I mean, to me, I will contend it is the greatest team in college football history that did not win a national championship or get the opportunity to play for that. And I was so happy to read in your book that you feel very much the same way. When you reflect back on 1998 and that team, that season, what was and what wasn't with that team, what are the reflections that you have still to this day?
Well, I think, you know, as probably most coaches and an awful lot of players, you know, you remember the losses far longer than you do the victories. And that, not the bowl game, but the last game of the season when we were playing to be in a national championship ball game was probably the highlight of the career of all the players in our program. And to lose that in the last quarter of the ball game was heartbreaking. And kind of, you know, it stuck with me for, and I know with a lot of players, you know, for an awful long time thereafter. And it, you know, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't so much, it did, you know, pain me, but the greatest pain was knowing and seeing, you know, how it impacted our players and how they suffered from it dramatically.
Do you have the same types of feelings about 2012 and the Baylor game, being that that was another one fans will point to saying you had a chance there had that game gone differently to be in a national championship game?
Well, the A&M game was probably had a greater impact on everyone. I mean, it was a given if we won that ball game. It wasn't a given if we won the Baylor game at the time, anyway. But it's, you know, as I said, you know, you remember the losses far longer than the victories, and losses are more pain, not to all, but to me, certainly, I only speak for myself, but the losses are more painful than the victories are endearing. So that's just by nature, I guess.
Yeah, and lucky me, I live in Houston, Texas, and so I run into Aggies all the time.
And they remind you, right?
They say, you're the same locket up. Yes, I was on that team. You know? But, you know, at that time and point, I was a redshirt freshman. I was 19 years old. I didn't know what was going on other than if I was supposed to run a route, I run the route, right? And so it was just impressive to be part of that recruiting team. You know, if you look back at that team, just, you know, pulling out a couple of names, man, if you talk about the Jeff Kellys and the Darnell McDonalds and the Michael Bishops of the world, you know, having an opportunity to come to the same recruiting class. I came out of high school, but they came out of junior college with those guys was just amazing when you go back and look at K-State history. And so, you know, always impressed with the way that we recruited from a K-State perspective, and just being able to put all of that talent on one field was amazing. So, you know, even to this day, I continue to root for K-State, you know, all the way through just because it just has so much of an impact on my career and my life.
Very much so. Very much so.
You know, I'm curious, Coach, to hop in here. I know Aaron brought up a lot of guys there that were junior college players, and obviously you had so many of those that made an impact in your program over the years. When that kind of started for you, it seemed at the time it was not nearly as prevalent throughout college football as it was by the time, obviously, that you ended your coaching career. How did you kind of get down that road where you decided or figured out, like, hey, this is a real advantageous thing that we can use in our program?
Well, I think the community college or junior college recruiting was not imminent because there was the kind of a common perception that if you went to a community college, there was something wrong with you, that you were a bad student. Couldn't make the grades to be at a four-year school, and a variety of other things, that you were an attitude issue or you're a behavioral issue. And, you know, I just never did believe that. I mean, I knew, you know, a lot of people who had gone to community colleges and that were extremely fine people, good people. A lot of people go to community colleges just to save money, a far different tuition basis than at a four-year institution. And for me, because our coaches really, I asked them to I don't know if investigate is not the right word for it, but to do a thorough assessment and evaluation, not just of a player's athletic capabilities, but, you know, the kind of individual that he was, what his behavioral dimensions were, and to study deeply into the people that have been around that individual in regards to, you know, what kind of person he really is or really was. And I think our coaches did a nice job with that. And my feeling was, you know, a junior college youngster is he's a young man. And that's not any different than, you know, coming out of high school. And the value of the community college player is that, you know, he's had more experience and consequently is probably a little more able to step into a four-year institution environment and compete quickly, perhaps than a high school youngster. And that proved to be the case. And you think back and you think about those young people that Aaron just mentioned, quality. I mean, yes, good players, but they were quality individuals as well and fit into the program extremely, extremely well.
And one thing that I was really, really intrigued by finding out in your book was the opportunities that you did have outside of K-State, because I think we look as K-State fans and know you've said many times, you know, you stayed because of the people, you came because of the people and stayed because of the people. And obviously that held true. And there was never, I mean, you were never one to gloat about other offers that you had or anything like that, but listening and reading about UCLA, Arkansas, excuse me, the NFL, some of these opportunities that came up, just how persuasive were those at times and how difficult was it to stay put when you had offers like that throughout your career?
Well, it was easy because I had such a great appreciation for the people of Kansas State. You know, people here gave me my first opportunity to become a head football coach. I was treated extremely well by everyone, by the community of Manhattan, the state of Kansas, and Kansas State people around the country. I was treated so well by the administration, and it was just an enjoyable time. And it was never an issue. You know, I said from the outset that I would be there as long as I was wanted. If I wasn't wanted, then I wouldn't be there. I told Steve Miller at the very outset that I didn't want a contract, I didn't want to bind them. And if they felt I wasn't the right person, they could get rid of me without having to go through all the hassle that it takes to when they break your contract. Just the idea that I wanted to, you know, do the best I could and attempted to do that. And then as you just read, you know, the people just became so significant in not only my life, but my family's life. They were great with the, you know, the fan base was great with their players, et cetera. So I never responded to all of those. I mean, I got the calls and the correspondence, et cetera, but I always said no from the very outset because I didn't, you know, there were some that wanted me to interview and I said, no, I will not. There are some that said, we will, you know, you have the job if you'll just take it. And I said, no, thank you. So I never got into any kind of detail or any dialogue, you know, with anyone in regards to another position. It was always thank you, but no thank you.
With one of those being an NFL job, I'm just curious, do you think your coaching style would have worked well in the NFL? Would you have enjoyed coaching in the NFL?
No, I've always said, ever since I've been in coaching that I would never – ever since I've been in college coaching that I would never entertain the idea of going into the NFL. I didn't want to be in a position where, where players ran the show, so to speak. And not that I, wanted to be overbearing with young people in our program, but I did want to make sure that that I had the opportunity to do it the way that I desired to do it, and that's not the case in the NFL.
Yeah, smart move, Coach. I think the NFL would have rubbed you the wrong way. Some of those guys come in and they do, we do whatever we want to do at that level. And so I think you were perfect for college football just because getting guys to mature from the teenage years into being an early adult was just right for you. And so I'm so glad you stayed at Kansas State. It's you think about all of the coaching carousel that takes place now, and I get it, right? People do what's right for them, but it's always nice to affiliate, you know, one coach with one university if you can for that long of a tenure. It just has a long impact for the history of the program.
Well, it's as I said, you know, it's there's so many people that surrounded the program and me and my family that have been so gracious. I mean, that's why, you know, we're talking now and I'm sitting in my home in Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah.
And I don't have a home in Arizona or Florida. And this is where our home is.
Kim Bill Snyder is talking here with us. You can find his book, My Football Life and the Rest of the Story, out now, Amazon, wherever it is that you find books, written with D. Scott Fritchin. You know, I was curious to ask too about reading that you obviously retired the first time around after the 2005 season, but that you had contemplated it or at least crossed your mind after 2003 because things had become pretty stressful at that point in time. And I don't want to put words in your mouth there. I'll let you kind of elaborate there. But what was that period like in 2003 after you won the Big 12 championship?
Well, you know, if you're a football coach, you have problems every single day, you know, and it takes a major amount of persistence to, you know, to fight the battle, so to speak, and not shove them under the rug. And it becomes very tedious over a period of time. And that particular point in time, you know, we were successful. And, you know, everybody, which I, you know, certainly don't blame them for, but, you know, you had so many people that wanted to take advantage of that. And consequently, that, you know, is not always the best thing for the football program. So you've got a lot of people, you know, want to leave and better themselves. I can appreciate that, but it still creates some issues, you know, within the program. So it was dealing with that and have to continually hire, you know, new coaches and deal with that, with the change that took place. I'm not a big fan of change. I don't mind change if it's the best thing to do, but if you're doing the right thing, you kind of like to keep it that way. But anyway, I mean, it's just those kind of things that wore on you. And so, yes, you know, you think about it, you know, how much longer do I really want to do this? Do I want to do this any longer? And I think from, you know, at that point in time, those thoughts were, you know, heavy on my mind. And then, you know, a little later that, in the second tenure, the same thing happens, and you start thinking, you know, it's maybe it's about time, and you fight it off, and up to a point.
Do you think much? You know, speaking of the second time around and how much things had changed, we now, even since you've left, have had name, image, and likeness that be instituted, the free year that the kids can transfer here. We're seeing even just hyper recently, the coaches leaving for crazy salaries from blue blood job to blue blood job. Just when you look at the state of the game and college football and conference realignment, that's another thing, obviously, that's happening here. Just how different does it feel from the game that you left that you coached?
Well, you know, it's all about money, and I can't say that it wasn't during the time that I was coaching, but not to the degree that it is now. You know, I believe, and you know, that young people should have some options, just like coaches have options. But by the same token, there's a loyalty factor that is involved there. I mean, a coach, you know, comes to a program, and a program is good to him. And there's I would think there would be a loyalty factor that runs both ways. Same thing is true with the young person. You know, you go out and you find young people that you'd like to have in your program, and you expend a great deal of effort and offer them, you know, opportunities. And there's, you know, you being loyal to them, again, is a two-way street. Now, that being said, you know, a young guy is at one school and has an opportunity to go to, you know, another school that might offer him a, you know, a scholarship that he didn't have at the other school. You know, that's certainly very, very understandable. I think it's, you know, if you if it's an equal transition, again, I think loyalty enters into it. But, you know, when coaches are moving around, you know, it's like you mentioned, and it's like it's taken place here in the last week or so at an amazing rate, then certainly, you know, players should have that same freedom and same opportunity to do so. How would I like to see it? I'd like to see it as it was intended. You know, that coaches, as long as they conduct themselves well, as long as they are doing what's in the best interest of the young people in their program and representing their university in a very high class, special way, that they are given, you know, more opportunity than what's taking place now. By the same token, I'd like to see, young people, you know, when they do make a commitment to go to a university, as long as everything is as it was indicated it would be, that, you know, they hold true to that that loyalty, and they stay loyal to, you know, a university and its program and other players and coaches. But like I said, you know, there are reasons, you know, the coach leaves. There isn't any reason why, you know, the players should be held accountable to stay. So it's a strange time in college athletics, college football in particular. And you know, it's easy to say, you know, you don't miss those things, and I certainly don't.
Yeah, I could understand that. Well, hey, I don't want to end on a low note here, and certainly Aaron, if you have something to add after this, you can. But Coach, I would just like to know, you know, you talk about, hey, I the losses stick with you more than the wins do. But when you do look back and think about the good times, wins that you did have at K-State, what stands out to you the most as the most prevailing memories for you on high notes at K-State?
Well, there's a large number of them. I think the thing that when I get asked that question, what comes to mind more than anything else is the very first victory during that time that I was here was back in the very first year, and we won only one game that year, but it was the only game that any player in that program had ever won at Kansas State. Even the seniors had not won a ball game. And to see the joy that it brought to them, and the joy that it brought to the minimal number of fans that we had in the stands, having, you know, gone whatever it was, 3 years or plus without a win, was really an amazing thing in itself. But to see the joy, you know, of all the people that had been hurt by the many, many years of no victories, that game stands out, or the aftermath of the game stands out to me more than anything.
Well, Coach, I greatly appreciate you taking the time to do this. Aaron, do you have anything else?
No, once again, Coach, it's always a pleasure. I'll be seeing more of you in Manhattan as always, and so that's like my second home as well. So look forward to seeing you more.
Well, it was great visiting with you guys. I appreciate it a great deal. Thank you, John. Thank you, Aaron. You guys have a great day, and we'll see you soon, Aaron.